We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Okay, welcome into the Labatt Studio. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. All right, we're going to close out strong. It's quarter number four this week. But before we get into that, we are going to announce the winner from Ask Ross, who had the best question against the 409tailgateclub.com box. Bob Flounders is laughing. It is Rich
in Bakers, there.
Yeah, in Bakersfield, California. Well, two straight weeks we said we were going to announce it quarter four and forgot. So
I thought we forgot that other week.
We did.
I thought we did.
I got home last week, and then I was thinking about it, and I said to Jim,
"Did we do it?
Maybe off the air."
We talked about it off the air. I wrote it down to announce it, and then we just didn't do it.
Nice.
So
cost cutting measure.
There we go. It is Rich in Bakersfield.
He had three questions. Let me just say this. I don't want this to prompt other people to ask three questions.
Oh, okay.
One question is the key.
Short is
best.
But
he had three good questions. The handler percentage, the the
inside baseball and the
promotion
OC.
From within, yeah. And the Hawaii question wasn't very good, but the first two were pretty good.
All right, don't forget, you can get all our content on our website, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Download our app, Keystone Sports, from the App Store on your phone, and we're on Spotify. Just look us up, Keystone Sports. You can find all of our content there. All right. For quarter number four this week, we're going to do the 2020 recruiting class. We're going to talk about it in general terms. But you wanted to start right away, Ross, and you want to get your two cents in. I will let you go.
Well, I just wanted to say, and I already touched on it in, quarter number one,
right,
that people can always go back and listen to on whatever podcast app you use or KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. But, Penn State, even if you look at the top five players in the state, they did not get the Hayes kid from Pittsburgh who's going to Pitt, or Carmody, or Julian Fleming. And I just think that that's, I guess the point I would make, and I think I said this, but I'll say it again, that does not happen in Ohio. You just don't notice that. Like, Ohio State gets the Ohio kids they want. Almost, oh, I mean, like, they got Sean Clifford, Penn State did, but Ohio State didn't want him. They didn't offer him,
Wasn't Trevor Lawrence from Ohio?
No.
It's
Georgia.
Georgia, that's right.
Yeah, but it just doesn't happen. And it also almost never happens that the two top players in the country are both within 2 hours of Penn State, and they get neither. Yeah. I mean, most of the time the top players are, like, from Georgia, Texas, Florida, California, and the chances of Penn State getting them are probably not real great. They had an unprecedented opportunity with this year that they were not able to cash in on. I don't think we need to belabor the point. It's just the reality.
So there's 27 recruits in this class. It's the biggest class in nearly two decades for Penn State. It ties the 2009 class, which was also 27. There are 13 four stars and 14 three stars. But here's what I want to bring up about the 2009 class. That class had some big names: Eric Shrive, offensive lineman; quarterback Kevin Newsom; wide receiver Justin Brown. Those were the big names of that big sort of that class that looked like this, right? But there were some lower ranked guys in that class named John Urschel, Jordan Hill, and Gerald Hodges. Those were the guys that ended up making the biggest impact. And to me, when you throw it all in a bottle and jumble all the players in, this class feels like the same, a little bit of the same thing to me. You have to look and wait for development because there's not that sure thing that you're, that shiny star and that five star and two almost five stars to look at. It's, you got to look at the sum of the parts. And that is this class to me. And that's what it feels like.
Yeah, and I was going to say this, but it kind of reminds me of like a Paterno class.
It does.
In the sense of some of the guys like Mulba from Susquehanna Township or Tyler Elsden from North Schuylkill, that it takes 2 years, maybe three, all of a sudden you're like, wow, these guys are good. Like, they're good, tough football players that really helped Penn State win. And, you know, Penn State knows a lot about those kids because they didn't offer them until they came to camp.
Right.
Kind of proved it in front of them. So that, I would say, is a real positive. I would also say to be able to get some of the talent they're getting from Florida now is different than what we've seen before. In terms of another bummer, I guess, on some level, Curtis Jacobs, who I think is clearly the best player in the class right now, he might be going to like the biggest position of strength right now on the whole roster. You know what I mean? Like, if you said, yeah, what position does Penn State need somebody the least next year?
Running back.
I would say running back, linebacker, and maybe O-line for next year, next year's team. And he's a linebacker. You know, they could use receiver help. They could use D-line help. They could use secondary help. But he happens to be a linebacker. And, I mean, they couldn't even get Lance Dixon on the field this year. And I think he's a stud.
This class is still going to be in the top 15, right? General across the board. It's still a top 15 class. At the same time, you say it's the lowest ranked James Franklin class since 2016 and with what he did in 17, 18, and 19 classes. But it's still top 15. It's not like they went from 5 or 6 to 40. You know what I mean? It's not like the floor fell off.
It's not like they're USC and they're below Bowling Green. That is unbelievable.
That is all the turmoil around Coach Clay Helton, yeah, and the fact that James Franklin.
By the way, I feel bad for Bowling Green. Bowling Green, do you realize in the last few days, and people listening might be like, this is just kind of stuff you should know about recruiting.
Good football stuff.
In the last few days, the day before signing day, I saw his name's Caden Moore, offensive lineman from Bethlehem Freedom, committed to Bowling Green for like 6 months. Decommits one. I love how the kids, the new thing is you decommit one day and then you don't commit to the next school to the next day. Like you want to make it sound like you're just not making a quick switch. So he decommitted from Bethlehem from Bowling Green and committed to Virginia Tech. Then there's a tight end from Pope John Paul outside of Pottstown, Dylan Walker, who was committed to Bowling Green and then flipped to Colorado State with Steve Adazio.
Got it.
So it's just kind of funny to me. And Bowling Green was still ranked ahead of USC, by the way.
You can't trust those Bethlehem Freedom High School guys is the moral of the story.
But it's just the point is guys switch. You never know. Things happen. And you're right. Penn State did not drop that far. They're still top 15. And they were never really a top five recruiting team with Paterno back in the day.
Oh, yeah. No, not with Paterno back in the day. That wasn't the thing.
One thing I think that you got to give, I think, James and his staff credit for is the way they scrambled out of trouble in the spring when
the decommitment.
Well, Fleming
pretty
much verbals to Ohio State. And I think they lost a couple of quality kids that had already committed.
They lost
another
four.
That could have really, I think, really fleshed out this class even more.
Yep.
And rather than the class just kind of take a header, he was able to stabilize it. He got some good players to kind of bridge it, and then he got some more good players. But I thought that was a key moment in the construction of this class. Instead of them really taking a significant step backward, he and his assistants were able to stabilize it and salvage, you know, a top 12, top 13 class. I think you got to give him a lot of credit for that.
And they also lost another. It went from 28 to 27 in the last week. They lost a defensive lineman who decommitted and went somewhere else. There's seven players you'll find generally in the top 250 lists, 200, 250 lists from this class. 12 states are representative. That's definitely not a Joe Paterno thing.
Here comes
thing.
The numbers.
No, I'm almost done. But both running backs are coming from Florida. Hello, who's the running backs coach, right? And that when you're getting, you know, second and third tier running backs out of Florida, where like the top 250 in that state is legitimately full halfway. The top 250 in Florida is 125 of the players nationally. When you're getting second and third tier running backs from Florida to come up to Penn State, that's why that position is the way it is, and it's going to continue to be like that. I think one of the best at the position of least need, they might have done some of their best work.
And I would say I think Lambert, the wide receiver from Virginia, and Dotton, the wide receiver from Connecticut, I can see one of those guys helping them next year. They're going to probably need him to be able to contribute, especially if Hamler leaves school as we expect. The other point I would make is I was pretty impressed by Micah Bowens. I remember when we watched his video, a quarterback. He's another one of those that I feel like if he was 6'3", he'd be getting a bunch more offers than he got. But he was explosive, dynamic. I think he fits what they've had recently.
Interesting, the quarterback position in each of the last 2 years in recruiting, one from Oregon, one from Nevada now. They're going out of it. But the focus on this class, and this is our, you know, we'll wrap this up in the final 2 minutes. Five offensive linemen, six defensive linemen. That is on purpose. Do you guys feel differently?
James said on Wednesday that he never wants to feel like he felt about the offensive and defensive lines when he first arrived in terms of scholarship depth. I think he said something about when he got here, I think he had Andrew Nelson, and I don't know if he had another guy. I think your boy at Tampa Bay, your guy in Tampa Bay,
Donovan Smith.
I think those are the only two guys I think on the roster that were scholarship offensive tackles. He said it was just a nightmare kind of getting out from under that. And so he's going to take at least one guy per position every year to avoid that.
But with 11 total linemen on the inside, that's the most ever by Franklin.
After quarterback, those are the two most important positions, and they're going to weed themselves out. You know what I mean? Like, only two of those guys, maybe three, are going to end up ever playing, but they're going to at least get the best two or three out of those group. What I've noticed with this class, more than I feel like the last couple, there's more developmental three-star guys than there are proven commodity four-star and five-star. But sometimes the developmental three-star guys actually have higher ceilings. How many times – I've only evaluated in the spring maybe 8 to 10 of these guys. But how many times I say, he's got a lot to work on, but the ability is there. They went with guys that had traits that whose video did not blow you away. And – you're not going to get four stars out of that. You're not going to get five stars out of that. You're just going to be a three-star guy.
All right. Recruiting shuts down till January 17th, just to let you know. Then there's a 16-day open period. Before the second signing day on February 5th, I would expect this class to end up somewhere in the high 20s where it's at, maybe even reach 30. So, all right, that'll do it for the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Studio. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And from all of us at the Keystone Sports Network, we hope you have a very Merry Christmas and a happy holiday season. We are out.
With the college bowl games and pro football playoffs approaching, what better way to celebrate than treating your guests to the best in barbecue with the rubs and sauces from 409tailgateclub.com. They also have great gift boxes. And don't forget the famous 409 Tailgate Club Bloody Mary Mix. To top it off, if you go to 409tailgateclub.com, use code KSN for a special discount just for Keystone Kickoff listeners. That's 409tailgateclub.com, and remember to use code KSN.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.